12th stanza. Jake and Callahan. 1. Don Callahan had had many dreams of returning to America. Usually they began with him waking up under a high, fair desert sky full of the puffy clouds baseball players call angels, or in his own rectory bed in the town of Jerusalem's Lot, Maine. No matter which locale it happened to be, he'd be nearly overwhelmed with relief, his first instinct for prayer. Oh, thank God, thank God it was only a dream, and finally I am awake. He was awake now, no question of that. He turned a complete circle in the air and saw Jake do exactly the same in front of him. He lost one of his sandals. He could hear Oi yapping and Eddie roaring in protest. He could hear taxi horns, that sublime New York street music, and something else as well. A preacher. Really cruising along by the sound of him. Third gear at least. Maybe overdrive. One of Callahan's ankles clipped the side of the unfound door as he went through, and there was a burst of terrific pain from that spot. Then the ankle and the area around it went numb. There was a speedy riffle of toe ash chimes, like a 33 1/3 record played at 45 RPM. A buffet of conflicting air currents hit him, and suddenly he was smelling gasoline and exhaust instead of the doorway cave's dank air. First street music, now street perfume. For a moment there were two preachers, Henchick behind, roaring, "Behold, the door opens!" And another one ahead bellowing, "Say God, brother, that's right, say God on Second Avenue." More twins, Callahan thought. There was time for that. And then the door behind him blammed shut and the only God shouter was the one on Second Avenue. Callahan also had time to think, "Welcome home, you son of a bitch, welcome back to America." And then he landed. 2. It was quite an all-out crash, but he came down hard on his hands and knees. His jeans protected the latter parts to some degree, although they tore, but the sidewalk scraped what felt like an acre of skin from his palms. He heard the rose, singing powerfully and undisturbed. Callahan rolled over onto his back and looked up at the sky, snarling with pain, holding his bleeding, buzzing hands in front of his face. A drop of blood from the left one splashed onto his cheek like a tear. "Where the fuck did you come from, my friend?" asked an astounded black man in gray fatigues. He seemed to have been the only one to mark Don Callahan's dramatic re-entry into America. He was staring down at the man on the sidewalk with wide eyes. "Oz," Callahan said, and sat up. His hands stung fiercely, and now his ankle was back, complaining in loud yowp, yowp, yowp bursts of pain that were in perfect sync with his elevated heartbeat. "Go on, fella, get out of here. I'm okay, so 23's could do." "Whatever you say, bro. Later." The man in the gray fatigues, a janitor just off shift was Callahan's guess, started walking. He favored Callahan with one final glance, still amazed but already beginning to doubt what he'd seen, and then skirted the little crowd listening to the street preacher. A moment later, he was gone. Callahan got to his feet and stood on one of the steps leading up to Hammersholt Plaza, looking for Jake. He didn't see him. He looked the other way for the unfound door, but that was gone too. "Now listen, my friends, listen, I say God, I say God's love, I say, give me hallelujah." "Hallelujah," said a member of the street preacher's crowd, not really sounding all that into it. "I say amen, thank you, brother. Now listen, because this is America's time of testing, and America is failing her test. This country needs a bomb, not a nuclear one, but a God bomb. Can you say hallelujah?" "Jake," Callahan shouted. "Jake, where are you? Jake?" "Oi!" That was Jake, his voice raised in a scream. "Oi, look out!" There was a yapping, excited bark Callahan would have recognized anywhere. Then the scream of locked tires, the blare of a horn, and the thud